We make sense of our lives by the stories that we tell ourselves, stories that we carry in our memories and tell our family and our friends and give us an orientation for the meaning of life. The way we recall our stories and which stories we choose to remember to a large degree determines our views on issues of such things as food and religion. Consider, for example, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many of them were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves. Let's go to a quiet place and let's get some rest." So they were on near the Sea of Galilee, and they got in a boat by themselves, just Jesus and his apostles, and they rowed to a solitary place to get away from the crowds. But they didn't get too far from the shore, and many who saw them leaving recognized them, and they ran on foot along the shore from all the towns, and they got ahead of them. And when Jesus landed in what was supposed to be a solitary place, he saw gathered there a large crowd. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "There's so many people here. That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Then Jesus directed the apostles to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So the people sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and distributed them to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of people who had eaten was 5,000. Now, in researching this New Testament story, I found several modern cartoons of the event. In one cartoon, a disciple says to Jesus, "Loaves and fishes? Haven't we anything for vegans?" Another cartoon shows a disciple asking, "Has that fish been tested for mercury?" In another, a disciple looks at the fish and bread and asks, "Did Jesus create these locally?" And still another cartoon, a disciple asks, "Do you have any gluten-free bread?" And a worried disciple warns, "Hey, Jesus, take it easy on the loaves and fishes. You're just creating a dependency." But not all the cartoons are negative. One disciple looks at the fish and shouts, "Oh, good, sushi!" Now, some who read the story of the feeding of the multitudes conclude that God magically provided the extra fish and the bread to feed the 5,000. Others who read this story conclude that the story just never happened and was made up by a storyteller who then inserted it into the gospel so that we would be more impressed with Jesus. We will never know if it actually happened. But stories can have value and meaning even when they are made up by a storyteller. In this story, the disciples were afraid that there would not be enough food and that they would go hungry. From time to time, each of us has such fears. Fear helps us survive in a world of limited resources. And we have discovered in our own lives that sharing does not always work. So there's another story about food and religion that you can find posted on the Heritage Foundation website. And if you'd like to hear it read, Rush Limbaugh reads it each Thanksgiving on his radio show. It is a story about the pilgrims. Now, neither the Heritage Foundation nor Rush Limbaugh mentions that the original Pilgrim Church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, is now a Unitarian Universalist church. When the pilgrims arrived in the New World in 1620, their plan was that all the farmers would hold the farmland, the property, in common. Their farm work would all contribute towards a common sharing goal of raising enough food for everyone in the small colony of religious people. From the very start, though, some of the pilgrims in the group, particularly the ones from Leiden in the Netherlands, said, "This is never going to work." And they turned out to be correct. By the spring of 1623, the small colony, others had arrived, and there were about 180 people altogether. The small colony made a change. William Bradford wrote, "They began to think how they might raise as much corn as they could and obtain a better crop than they had done, and that they might not still thus languish in misery. At length, after much debate of things, the governor, with the advice of the chiefest among them, assigned to every family a parcel of land according to the proportion of the number. This had a very good success, for it made all the hands industrious, so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been." Conservatives point to this story, this founding story of our country, to question the value of government programs like the Federal Supplementary Nutritional Assistance Program, formerly known as the Food Stamp Program, a program which today helps put food on the table for more than 47 million people each month. In the Federal Supplementary Nutritional Assistance Program, the benefit averages about $1.40 per person per meal. Imagine trying to have breakfast on $1.40 or lunch or dinner for a month. 60% of the adults on food stamps have jobs. Now that excludes the children, the elderly, and the disabled. Because the minimum wage is so low, though, they do not make enough to feed their families and must supplement their income with food stamps. Conservatives argue that the pilgrims discovered, on the one hand, that if you share food, if everybody holds all the land in common, some people will work and others will just expect to be fed. They say, on the other hand, the pilgrims learned that if people keep the food they produce, if they have their own parcel of land, 1 acre for each man, woman, and child, most people will work hard to grow food. As one conservative put it, speaking to me, he said, "I'm afraid of giveaway programs like food stamps. Such programs are a way for others who do not work to take from me what I have worked hard to earn." Well, I see two problems with this using the pilgrim story as an argument against helping others. First, in 1623, instead of holding all the farmland in common, out the land that was outside the fortified village that they had built, the land was allocated to individuals for their private use, so that each man, woman, and child received 1 acre parcel of land on which to grow food. Today, those who wish to cut programs like the food stamp program, the Federal Supplementary Nutritional Assistance Program, they're not suggesting that we, as an alternative, do what the pilgrims did. They're not suggesting we break up the large farms in our country and give a 1 acre parcel of fertile land to each man, woman, and child, along with the seeds and the tools and the training to grow food. Second, in reading in the history of the Plymouth Colony and going back and looking at the research that's been done, I cannot find any evidence that the people who failed as farmers were left to die of hunger while other people ate the corn that was produced. What evidence I find is that these religious people, these Christians who eventually, their descendants eventually became Unitarians, these religious people appeared to have shared their food. The orphans, the elderly, the disabled, the sick, those who could not grow their own food, they did not go hungry. As a teenager growing up in the 1960s, I visited my relatives' grain and potato farms in Idaho. There was, at that time, when I visited those farms, and a tremendous feeling of abundance. Lots of potatoes and lots of wheat. I remember watching television and seeing news stories about grain surpluses. Apparently, among a majority of people in the United States, there was a feeling of abundance and not a feeling of scarcity. President Johnson declared a war on poverty in 1964, and then he was elected that year in a landslide. With the support of Richard Nixon, the food stamp program became a nationwide program 40 years ago this summer, on July 1st, 1974. About the food stamp program, Republican Senator Bob Dole said, "I am confident that this bill eliminates the greedy and feeds the needy." Eliminates the greedy and feeds the needy. Republican Bob Dole. However, by 1981, this support of government programs to eliminate hunger started to be replaced with this fear that if we share what food there is in America through government programs, some of us will work hard and others will be lazy. So programs sponsored by our federal government started to be cut back. I was working in the early 1980s as a minister in Massachusetts. And with a group of clergy in the community, we decided to establish a food kitchen, a soup kitchen, to deal with the number of people who were coming to our doors asking for help. I had heard about soup kitchens in studying the history of the Great Depression of the 1930s, but it was not until the election of Ronald Reagan that I had an opportunity to help start a soup kitchen myself. According to the movie A Place at the Table, in 1980, there were about 200 food banks in the United States, about 200. Today, there are more than 40,000. Here in Sarasota, we are blessed to have All Faiths Food Bank. March 17th, the food bank published a report on The Edge, an in-depth research study on child hunger and food insecurity in Sarasota and DeSoto counties. The data provides insight into the scale of food insecurity in our region and a perspective on how children are impacted by the issue. According to the report, Florida has the distinction of joining five other states with the highest children's food insecurity rates in the country. Food insecurity is defined as having limited or uncertain availability of or inability to acquire nutritionally adequate, safe, and acceptable foods due to financial resource constraint. Poverty and unemployment are primary contributors to the food insecurity in our region. According to the Sarasota County Planning Services Division, one in every five children lives below the poverty level. This rate nearly doubled from 2000 to 2010. Children in Sarasota and DeSoto counties are at risk of falling into higher levels of food insecurity because of trends in poverty, unemployment, and federal budget cuts to hunger prevention programs. Adding to the challenge of food insecurity is low access to quality of food for some families. Nine neighborhoods in Sarasota County join 20 million other Americans who live in food deserts. These are low-income areas where there are no stores near their homes where they can buy affordable fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. This issue of food insecurity and access to food was made worse by an $11 billion cut on November 1, 2013, to the Federal Supplementary Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as the Food Stamp Program, an $11 billion cut last November. So today, 20% of the children in Sarasota County experience extreme worry about matters of food and the availability of food in their home. Third and fourth graders show the most worry that food at home will run out. Three schools, Atwater Elementary, Alta Vista Elementary, and Wilkinson Elementary, consistently emerge as the schools with the highest hunger scale scores. So this is where we come in. And this is why the offering is after the sermon today instead of before. Wilkinson Elementary is 4 miles away from our church. Our social justice committee is focusing its efforts on projects that seek to reduce homelessness and hunger. One such initiative is the Social Justice Committee's ongoing partnership with All Faith Food Bank's backpack program. Our church will provide food assistance every weekend to 60 children at Wilkinson Elementary School. Through the Backpack Kids program, we will provide food to children over the weekend and during the school holidays when they may otherwise go without a meal. Participating homeless and low-income children in grades K through 5 will be sent home with a backpack of healthy, kid-friendly food and nutritional information on Fridays and prior to holidays. The backpack program is our congregation's largest project that addresses hunger in our community. After the service, I invite you to stop by the social justice table where you can get more information about the program. The food will cost $9,680, which I have rounded up to $10,000. The proceeds of today's Share the Plate collection will go to support the backpack program. If we are fortunate enough to raise more than $10,000 this morning, we will put that in reserve for next year because this is an ongoing project. If we are not successful, we will have another collection in January when folks who are for some reason not here today come back and join us. So please help us meet our goal by generously donating. If you are paying by check, please make the check out to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Sarasota with the designation backpack on the memo line. We make sense of our lives. Here's my check. We make sense of our lives by the stories we tell ourselves. When it comes to religion and food, I tell myself this story. In my imagination, 2,000 years ago, Jesus noticed that many in the crowd, those people who had followed him to this lonely, isolated place, many of them had brought their own lunch. But they were hiding it, hiding the food in bags, because they were afraid that if others saw the food, they might take it away from them. Out of fear of going hungry, they held their own bread and their own fish close and hidden from others. In my imagination that day, Jesus looked out in the crowd and he thought to himself, now if I model generosity, if I show that I am willing to share, if I am willing to help others and share my two fish and my five loaves of bread, perhaps these people will follow my example and that they will share what they have. Of course, some people will have nothing, and they will benefit from others sharing together, and perhaps others will have extra. Those people who always say, well, maybe we could bring an extra sandwich just in case. In this way, if everyone shares, everyone will have something to eat. So Jesus took a risk, and he gave his loaves and fishes to his disciples to distribute to the people. And a miracle occurred, and everyone ate and was satisfied. In the spirit of leading by example, here's my donation of $100. And now we will have the offering.